Chapter 1, Getting Started. When I originally decided to visit South America, it was only supposed to be a two-month trip spanning across Peru, Chile, Argentina, and Brazil. When I actually arrived in South America, I decided to turn 2 months into a year, and I didn't even visit half of the places I originally planned on seeing. The thing with traveling is, plans change, and most of the pre-planning I did before leaving never came to fruition. Instead, I had other interesting adventures. Now, I have the time to visit places I originally planned, and a ton of places I didn't plan. Still, there are things I did plan for before leaving that every person needs to consider when budgeting for their trip. These items don't change and are true for everyone, no matter where you're from or where you're traveling to. Before you begin your trip, weigh a few options when choosing your destination. How much you spend will vary greatly on where you go and how long you're there. So do a little research before you settle on one place. I ignorantly assumed because I was traveling from the States to South America, everything would be dramatically cheaper. In a lot of places, this turned out to be true, but in many places like Rio de Janeiro or Buenos Aires, food and drinks cost as much as they do back home. Still, traveling through South America for a few months turned out to be much cheaper than traveling through Europe for the same amount of time. This is why you'll need to carefully pick your destination. That's not to say that you cannot still save tons of money if you have your heart set on a more expensive country or area if you hadn't followed these tips. Just know that in the long run, it may cost a little bit more than if you had visited a more inexpensive place, like many countries in Asia, for example. Time is the other big factor. This may be an obvious statement, but sometimes it's so obvious people don't consciously consider it before booking a trip. 2 weeks requires far less money than a month. How you spend that time also impacts finances. For example, when I landed in South America, I planned to visit 4 different countries and multiple cities within those countries. They weren't close to each other. In fact, they were on opposite corners of the continent. This meant more money for transportation than if I had just picked one area and stuck to it. I made a decision to spend the extra money anyway because this might be the only opportunity I had to visit a place. That alone made it worth the extra money for me, but this is only a decision you can make. There's no right or wrong answer, but do think about it carefully before making a decision one way or the other. I willingly accepted the extra money I'd need to hop across a continent, but again, only you can decide if that's worth it. Every trip is unique, and there are certain things you'll learn about the place you have decided to visit when you get there. There may be discounts available for certain things, unique to the country you travel to, and the best way to find these comes from talking to locals. Still, many of the discounts and tips you'll find here can be found in most places in the world. If you're leaving the country, make sure to research any visas or fees you'll need to pay when entering your country. When I arrived in Argentina, I didn't need a visa or prior paperwork before landing, but I did need to pay $160 when I went through customs. I now have a sticker in my passport that allows me to enter and leave Argentina free for the next 10 years. But still, it was a large lump sum I had to plan for when entering. Don't be surprised by these fees. Read about the country you're visiting so you know roughly how much you'll need to pay to get there. These fees change depending on your native country. The entry fee I paid for Argentina only applied to American, Canadian, and Australian citizens. If I had been from any other country besides those three, I wouldn't have paid to enter Argentina. I knew all this before coming down to South America because I used the U.S. Department of State website. Here, I found a list of travel warnings for the countries I was visiting, a little about the culture and fees or visas I needed to enter the country. Check your country's official travel pages to learn about these things and how they will affect you as a foreigner traveling. The worst thing that can occur budget-wise is a surprise fee you didn't plan on paying beforehand. Visas proved to be more of a hassle because I had to apply for them before leaving. They also required a lot more things like proof of plans to leave the country, an airline or bus ticket will suffice, and proof of where I was staying. I applied for my Brazilian visa while I was in Argentina because until then, I still hadn't booked an airline ticket to leave. Again, this cost $160. The time it takes to apply for visas is also important. It proved to be only a couple of days for me to receive my visa to Brazil, but I know many people from other countries where it takes several months and requires some important information like bank account statements and recent paychecks. For many of my friends in South America who want to visit the U.S., the process to apply for a visa is long and oftentimes denied. Unfortunately, there aren't a lot of tips I can provide here. If your country's citizens are charged a flat fee to enter a country, you have to pay it. You won't find discounts for students or senior citizens in this particular expense. One thing you can look into is whether that fee is charged in every border control point in the country. If I had entered Argentina by land, in other words, from another country by bus, I wouldn't have needed to pay that fee. It was only charged at the international airport. Unfortunately, I had no choice but to fly, as that large mountain range, known as the Andes, blocked my route from Lima to Buenos Aires. That may not be the case for you. If not, you can save yourself a decent amount of money by possibly flying into a different country that doesn't charge anything and taking a bus or train across the border. One last fee you'll need to cover before leaving is your passport. Again, this may seem obvious, but don't forget about it. It can take weeks or months to process a passport and costs a big chunk of change. The moment you decide to plan an international trip is the exact moment you should apply for your passport if you don't already have one. If you have any type of ID card that provides you discounts in your native country, such as student ID, bring that with you. I used my student ID in almost every city I visited, and it saved me a ton of money on random everyday things. Always ask to see if these discounts are available. Oftentimes, they are not posted or obvious, but businesses still offer them. Look into these items the second you decide to travel. Waiting may mean you need to pay more for rushed processing fees, if that's even a viable option. Once you have these big items out of the way, you're ready to start finding discounts that will save you tons of money as you embark on the adventure of a lifetime. Chapter 2, Finding Flights. Flights are probably the largest sum of money I pay when traveling. However, if you're willing to put in the time, you can find some cheap fares. The difference of a day or a few hours can mean the difference between a $700 flight and a $400 flight. Once you've decided to travel, sign up for airfarewatchdog.com. This site is dedicated to finding the best deals. Sign up for fare alerts. These alerts look for specific flights between two airports. If an amazing deal surfaces, they'll send an email alerting you of the price and where to find it. They also provide great tools like airlines routes and baggage fees for every airline in the world. Every day, they offer the top 50 fares. For example, today, I found a round-trip ticket from Denver, Colorado to Phoenix, Arizona for $58. You can't beat that! Their top fares usually include international trips too, though far less often than domestic flights. Another tip when browsing Airfare Watchdog's top 50 fares is to combine. For example, if you're looking for a trip from Los Angeles to New York, see if you can combine two plane tickets. Maybe there's a great deal on a round-trip ticket from Los Angeles to Chicago for $100 and another one from Chicago to New York for $70. By purchasing two separate fares, you can combine to create your own layover and still get your ticket for around half of what you might normally pay. Before you begin searching for your flight, you'll need an idea of the prices. Realistically, unless you fly that exact route often, you won't know how much a round-trip flight between London and New York costs. Several sites can help you find the average cost. Classics like Expedia or Travelocity sometimes yield the best results in the end, but I wouldn't start with those sites. Due to their large size and popularity, they don't always find the cheapest flight. When I'm traveling within the States, I use kayak.com to find my baseline. I've found for international flights that studentuniverse.com is a great place for me to start. Even if you're not eligible for their site, i.e., you're not a student, a person under 30, or a professor, it's still a good place to get an idea of how low in price flights can be. Once you have an idea, begin searching. There are a ton of different sites you can use, and no particular one stands to necessarily be the best. You may find a great deal on skyscanner.com one time, but find a great deal on Expedia the next. Some other sites I'd recommend looking into are Momondo.com, Mobissimo.com, and Viama.com. My favorite is BookingBuddy.com because it scans multiple sites and produces the results of several big-name websites in one result. To find the cheapest flight, you will have to look on many websites. If you limit yourself to one site, you're limited to only the deals and airlines that site scans. Also, don't spend just one day looking. Of course, if you find an unbelievably low price, you may want to buy it right away. Cheap airfares usually don't last long. Sometimes it's only offered for two or three people, and if you don't buy it right then, someone else might. Yet, those cases are rare. So remember to do your research and don't buy on instinct. If you have the time, spending an hour spread over the course of a couple of days usually yields better results than rushed decisions. For more expensive and longer flights like international flights, taking those extra days is important if you want to save money. Usually there is a great deal out there, but it takes time and patience to find it. Once you've found the best price for your search, check that airline's website directly. It might be lower than the price you found on the third-party website. It could also be astronomically higher, in which case you should feel good about the amazing deal you're getting. If the company is based in a different country than yours, check their national website too. For example, if I'm flying to Brazil, I check TAM.com and TAM.com.br. Look online to see what the official currency rate is between your money and theirs. Change the amount for the price of the ticket to their currency. In the case of LAM Airlines, I'd change U.S. dollars to Brazilian reals and see if it's cheaper than the price you originally found in your currency. Sometimes the exact same flight and exact same seat costs a little less in the original currency than in the dollar or euro. If you do buy your tickets this way, your credit card will be charged the price you bought it for on the national website, but changed at the official currency rate to your money. See if you can take an alternate route. You might find a flight into an airport that's an hour or two away from your destination, but it costs $100 less. In this case, see if you can find a shuttle for $10. If time isn't a factor, this might be a better option for you and save you a decent amount of money. Again, the idea of crossing borders factors in here. You may find it cheaper to fly into another country and take a bus across the border. This may also save you from paying the entrance fee into a country. Two birds, one stone. Combining ideas like this can result in hundreds in savings. You can also check the airport's website to see what airlines fly in and out. There may be a smaller airline with cheaper prices, one you didn't see when looking through other web pages. Look on their individual web pages and see how much they charge for a flight. The biggest tip I can offer is be flexible. What does that mean? It means be flexible with the days and times that you're looking at flying. The difference of a day can mean the difference between hundreds of dollars. It means be flexible with the number and lengths of stops on the flight. I found a great deal from Los Angeles to Lima, but it meant I had a layover of 6 hours in Mexico City. If you're not used to international flights, know that layovers are common. Actually, my layover in Mexico City was nothing compared to most layovers I see. Sometimes layovers can last over 24 hours, which means you either need to get comfortable in the airport or go explore a city you hadn't planned on seeing. It's rare to find direct flights for international travel unless you want to pay thousands. So, when you're looking for the cheapest international flight, don't be discouraged by the one or two stops in other airports. This adds a few hours to your travel time, but it can also save you a lot of money. In fact, no matter the price of flights you're looking at, layovers will usually be unavoidable. In general, just like many other aspects of travel, be open to new possibilities and stay flexible when choosing your flight. It's typically cheaper to buy a round-trip ticket than two separate one-way tickets. However, don't rule two one-way tickets out. Sometimes you can find a great deal that way. When I traveled through South America, I only bought one-way tickets because I didn't know how long I'd be in a particular place. Buying one-way tickets not only let me break up a big purchase instead of paying one lump sum, but it also gave me more freedom to move about once I was in a particular place. One mistake I'm embarrassed to admit I've made more than once is when I find a great flight, over $100 cheaper than any other flight I've found, and I begin to move forward with buying it, only to realize that taxes and fees weren't included in the price. Once they were, it turned out to be quite a bit more than other flights. Learn from my mistakes and double-check that you're looking at total costs before marking it as a consideration. Follow the rule of seven. Look for flights 7, 14, 21, 28, or 35 days before the day of your flight. In other words, if you plan to fly on a Wednesday, look for flights on a Wednesday 3 or 4 weeks before the day you want to fly. Also, I've been told and observed the following. Tuesdays are the best day of the week to look for flights. Whether it's a frequent traveler's urban legend or not, it always seems to work for me. I've been told Tuesday is when most airlines lower their prices. Due to this, I try to fly on Tuesdays and look at 21 or 28 days before my flight. Don't forget to check overseas websites too. Using websites from one particular country can lead to results that only check certain airlines. Through a combination of national and international travel search engines, you'll have a bigger pool of airlines to choose from. This is a lot of information to digest, especially if you're new to searching for cheap flights. I'll reiterate a few of the main ideas to help you digest this information. 1. Sign up for airfarewatchdog.com. 2. Find a base price before beginning your hunt. 3. Look at a minimum of 5 different websites, one of which should compare multiple sites at once. 4. When you've found the flight, check their website to see if it's cheaper. 5. Be willing to take a longer flight or one that has multiple layovers. 6. Look for flights on Tuesdays. It may take time to find the right flight, but I guarantee if you put a little effort into it, you will find a flight that's quite a bit cheaper than the first one you found at a glance. Flights tend to be the most expensive part of a trip. So don't underestimate the effort spent finding the right flight. It will be one of the largest savings you'll find when traveling. Chapter 3, More Miles for Your Money. The idea of travel hacking has grown in popularity over the last few years, although the idea is nothing new. I remember sitting in lounges of airports with my parents as a kid. Their need to fly with a certain airline, because that's who they had the most miles with, helped us travel for cheap around Europe multiple times, and it can help you do the same. Still, with the increase of technology and increased frequency of travel, the concept of travel hacking has grown over the last few years. A travel hacker doesn't think of finding the cheapest flights in a one-time search, as explained in the previous chapter. They constantly hunt for ways to rack up miles and points, thereby gaining top status with a selected airline. Think George Clooney's character in Up in the Air. This is how a serious travel hacker approaches life. If you buy a flight once a year, or just a few so that you can take that once-in-a-lifetime trip, travel hacking isn't for you. In fact, it would be quite detrimental because as a travel hacker, you often find yourself spending money on products you wouldn't otherwise buy just to rack up miles for the future. If, however, you are the person who flies every week or every month or does multiple international trips a year, signing up and earning points may be a better option. Before you begin, one of the frustrating things to understand with travel hacking is that the best flight may not be the cheapest. Sometimes you need to spend a little more to earn points or miles that may lead to a free flight later. Travel hackers focus on the future. If this is you, then adding up points may be more beneficial in the long run. These credit cards don't just help you earn miles that you can use to redeem for plane tickets. They also offer a full range of rewards from free or cheap hotel rooms, special treatment when you fly, such as priority seating and free bag check-in, and rental car insurance. Be warned, this is not for the faint-hearted, and it makes the aforementioned scenario of looking for a cheap flight look like child's play. It takes time and constant attentiveness to find points. While you may spend an hour looking for cheap flights, the travel hacker spends every day looking for miles. Don't think that accumulating miles means purchasing a bunch of plane tickets. Most of the ways to accumulate miles don't come from flying. They come from taking out credit cards and buying things with those cards. Some credit cards allow you to use your miles on any airline. Others will only let you use miles within a certain airline and its associates. In this case, make sure to pick a credit card that's branded with your favorite airline. This is not a simple choice. Picking a credit card associated with an airline is a bit like a marriage. When you choose that airline, you're committing to flying them more often than not. Those points you add up over the years will only go towards that airline or its associates. If you loathe United Airlines and the devil that created it, I would suggest picking a credit card associated with another airline. Don't apply for a credit card you can't pay off easily. The interest is usually higher with credit cards that earn you miles, so if you're going to rack up debt, I suggest doing it on a credit card with lower interest rather than one that earns you tons of miles. If you do decide to move forward with a credit card, the good news is that you'll get thousands of miles just for signing up. The average credit card associated with an American airline will give you at least 25,000 miles just for signing up and making a small purchase. Please note, this means all airlines based out of America, not the company American Airlines. With one small purchase on your credit card, you're already a decent way into earning a free trip. If you want to earn more miles easily, you can always open another credit card account, or even two or three. Travel hackers tend to use multiple cards. It's actually hard to travel hack without applying for numerous credit cards. Sometimes you can earn thousands of points by signing up with a new credit card not associated with an airline. Perhaps Capital One offers a certain amount of points towards an airline, even if they're not directly associated with it. You can still travel hack with just one or two credit cards, but it will take much longer to earn points. Remember, just because you've opened multiple credit cards doesn't mean you need to use them all, and it doesn't mean you will have a lower credit score. However, opening a credit card and closing it in the same month just to get the miles can affect your credit score, so be careful when you choose to open a credit card. So you may be wondering how exactly you receive miles. The best frequent flyer credit cards help you to do this in a straightforward manner. Typically, this means 1 mile for every dollar you spend, and double miles for using your card when you pay at specific places, like hotels, airlines, and rental cars. A good frequent flyer program will also have sign-up bonus miles and other bonuses like free bag check-in. You should pick a credit card company that allows you to earn miles on all purchases. You may not like receiving tons of emails about special offers and promotions, but you'll love doing it with travel hacking because special offers and promotions mean free miles for you. Sometimes, watching a 2-minute featured video gets you 1,000 miles. Keep your eyes peeled for 2-for-1 mile offers. If you see an offer to buy something for $5 and earn 5,000 miles, take it. Even if you don't like the product they're selling, buy it. Think of it as spending $5 to get 5,000 miles, and that is an outstanding deal. Another way to earn miles is through a mileage run or buying miles. A mileage run occurs when a travel hacker is only a few miles away from achieving a top level or status with an airline. Yes, there are different levels of status based on how many miles you've received. These happen when someone has a limited time to earn a certain amount of points, so they buy a ticket at the last minute through a special deal or cheap price. It doesn't really matter how long the ticket is for. Some people make it into a weekend away or spend an afternoon flying around the country and landing exactly where they started. Buying miles is another option. The idea of buying miles obviously points out that when you later use those miles, you're not actually getting a free flight, but it can still lead to a cheap flight. That may seem like a ridiculous way to save money, but much like the old adage says, you have to spend a little money to get a little money. Doing a mileage run or buying miles may not be the cheapest way to get a flight, but it can bump up your status as a cardholder and earn you free perks in the long run. If you'd like to begin your career as a travel hacker, look into travelhacking.org. You'll learn more insider tips on how to pad miles, earn elite status, and find the best offers and promotions. Be aware that it is a paid site, but they guarantee that you'll earn at least 4 free plane tickets a year. Sites like FlyerTalk.com and BoardingArea.com offer tips, news, and blogs about travel hacking. Some of the most popular credit cards based on rewards and usefulness for travel hacking include, in no particular order, 1. Capital Venture One Rewards Credit Card, 2. Chase Sapphire Preferred, 3. Escape by Discover Card, 4. Gold Delta Sky Miles Business Credit Card, 5. Blue Sky Preferred, 6. Southwest Airlines Rapid Reward Plus Card, 7. Delta Reserve Sky Miles Credit Card, 8. Starwood Preferred American Express Credit Card, 9. PenFed Premium Travel Rewards from American Express. Travel hacking comes down to lots of credit cards and constantly searching for new ways to earn miles. Like anything in life, it depends on what you put into it. Some people constantly scour the fine print, looking for loopholes or a way to earn 50 new miles. That can be exhausting, but it can also be rewarding. A good travel hacker earns free or relatively close to free airfare when they fly. Again, some of this information may seem overwhelming to a beginner, so here are a few of the main points. 1. Begin by taking out a credit card with an airline you'd like to fly often. 2. Watch out for special promotions and offers they send you. 3. Apply for multiple credit cards over time, but only ones you can easily pay off. 4. If you're only a few miles short of upgrading your status, consider doing a mileage run or buying miles. 5. Always look for new ways you can add miles or points for zero to small amounts of money. Sometimes the most frustrating, but also the most important thing you need to remember is that you won't always get the best deal in the moment. It's like a bank account. You're saving up for the future. Chapter 4. Take other types of transportation. When I first looked into my trip through South America, I researched trains, thinking it would be a cheaper alternative to flying. Unfortunately, there isn't a strong train system in South America. Once I arrived and started talking to locals, I learned about how easy and cheap buses are. No matter where I'm traveling,